Traditional revenue sources for public media and media at large are declining this year. We at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We're tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission. So we're turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. Online election misinformation. It's not just a problem here. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. A massive general election is currently underway in India. It has been described as the largest democratic exercise in history, and tech platforms are a big part of it. Many Indian voters get their information online, where digital mis- and disinformation can spread quickly, including deepfakes like this one. That's from an AI-manipulated video of Bollywood actor Amir Khan criticizing the BJP, the party of incumbent Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and encouraging people to vote for an opposition party. Khan has confirmed he never made those comments. Ramanjit Singh Chima with the international human rights group Access Now gave us the view from the Indian capital of Delhi.
I think it's very troubling to see the capabilities that AI-generated deepfakes have. I think it also reminds me that if in Amir Khan's case, this was caught, I think it's more important for us to think about the fact that the exploitation and misuse of any person's identity should be taken seriously. I'm worried about the number of direct, for example, potential cyber fraud or scam activity we might see targeting individuals where it's not immediately caught and revealed. So it's both troubling to see the capabilities that might exist, but it's also particularly alarming for me that in Amir Khan's case, obviously, it was quickly detected and the fact that it's fake was broadcast, but for others, including in more direct situations, that information may not be easily out there.
Right. And so what are some of the other sorts of mis- and disinformation that have made it through these platform filters in India's election so far?
So indeed, there have been situations involving disinformation about political parties' manifestos and the election promises. We've seen often the publication or circulation in large numbers of fake surveys and polls regarding potential results. So the idea to sway people to to join the wave in a particular way or to otherwise provide information that could be problematic. That's an area that already is known to be a situation in India. But I wanted to pause for a minute for us to consider the fact that a lot of the attention that we see this issue getting is regarding often high-profile political leaders and celebrities. And ultimately, the reality of what we need to really focus on is the misrepresentation of any person's identity, voice, or likeness should be taken seriously and remedied irrespective of status. What is, however, something that we can draw attention on is who is deploying and using these. So if political parties themselves are commissioning or deploying such, say, AI-generated deepfake videos or other examples of clearly, deployed misinformation, we need action on that. But more importantly, we can clearly say that political parties should not be allowed to use that during campaigning. We can focus not on who a deepfake video is pretending to be, but who is deploying the deepfake video in question.
Mm-hmm. What does the Indian law say right now, if anything, about the legality of creating and distributing these types of deepfakes?
So it's interesting to know that the Indian Penal Code already does criminalize attempts to misrepresent yourself as somebody else, particularly if there's criminal intent or other requirements there. I think what's more problematic in terms of Indian law is how it applies to political parties and the sort of stringent Indian legal requirements that can exist towards political advertisements placed by individual candidates. A, there's a gray area that Indian electoral law does not regulate political parties in terms of transparency on who is in charge of social media and other election tech deployment, who is keeping sensitive data sets, but also who might be potentially commissioning or using such technologies. That sort of regulation of parties, social media cells, IT cells, and the data they may have of individuals and of voters more generally is not something that Indian law right now clearly regulates strongly enough. And that's because the major political parties, including the present ruling coalition, has chosen not to do more on that.
We'll be right back. Traditional revenue sources for public media and media at large are declining this year. We at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We're tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we're turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. We're back with Ramanjit Singh Chima, Asia-Pacific Policy Director and Senior International Counsel at Access Now. Raman, your organization Access Now and the international NGO Global Witness published a recent report about online disinformation and YouTube's advertising system. The report says that in India, political parties and campaign managers have prioritized growing their user bases on YouTube. How have they gone about doing that?
It's been clear that political parties have described YouTube as a core focus area, and that often senior political leaders, including candidates for office, but also senior ministers or political spokespeople, are using YouTube to connect with the people. It's a definite quiet but very clear growth or target area for political parties and candidates for office in India.
So they've really honed in on YouTube as a tool here.
Absolutely. And I think the best way to see is follow the money. Look at the amount of money that is being spent. And by current known reports, remember, there might be a lot of gray area funding or money that's not being clearly tracked. But over 1,170 million rupees, equivalent to roughly $40 million, these are figures put out by the Economic Times, India's leading financial newspaper, has been spent on Google itself by political parties and their affiliates. And a large chunk of that would go to YouTube. And particularly there, not just on commissioning YouTube ads, but also on collaborating with influencers and putting out short-form video content, some on YouTube, but also on related channels such as Instagram.
Oh, this is very interesting. So there's two prongs to this. There's the purchasing of the advertisements, as well as you just said, the partnering with influencers that's happening on that platform. And so what is, in your view, the effect that all of this online misinformation is having on this election in India so far? I mean, we're still in the thick of it right now.
I think it's important, of course, before I answer this, to remember that India is the world's second largest internet user base. So after the People's Republic of China, you'll find the most number of internet users in India. A large number of Indians access the internet, often through mobile devices. They may not have high-performance, high-quality, fixed-line internet access, but they can see videos, they can see this content. And this explosion of disinformation in particular is making it harder to discern between truth and lies. It is hampering the ability of people to cast an informed vote. This explosion of misinformation is further putting the burden on them to determine what is genuine and what's not genuine.
That was Ramanjit Singh Chima at Access Now. We mentioned a recent report from Access Now and Global Witness where both organizations did their own test of YouTube India's advertising moderation system. For that test, they uploaded 48 ads in English, Hindi, and Telugu with false information about the elections, which according to the report were all approved by YouTube. All of those ads were withdrawn before they could be published. Raman and Access Now say this was an example of uneven moderation standards for YouTube in different countries. They previously did the same test, but with disinformation ads in English and Spanish before the 2022 U.S. midterms. Back then, YouTube rejected all those ads and banned their channel. Google has responded to the Access Now report, saying that their enforcement process has, quote, multiple layers to ensure ads comply with our policies. They added, an ad passing an initial technical check doesn't mean it won't be blocked or removed by its enforcement systems. You can read the report and watch our recent YouTube interview with Rahman as part of our limited series, Decoding Democracy, all about election-related myths and disinformation. We are at Marketplace APM. Daniel Shin produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.